Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today, in the church calendar, the Lutherans observe what's called the church calendar. We begin with Advent, then Christmas. We're now in the season of Epiphany. And today is what's known as Transfiguration Sunday. That's what those readings this morning were about. And Transfiguration Sunday serves as kind of a bridge between the seasons of Lent and Epiphany. The Transfiguration of our Lord is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke because it marks a significant turning point for Jesus. Luke put it this way. The passage is up on the screen. It says, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." See, Jesus knew that the time for him to complete the mission that his Father had sent him for was very near. So he set his face toward that place, the very place where a cross was waiting for him. Nothing would keep him from that cross because he knew that although it meant death for him, it would mean eternal life for you and for me. So Epiphany ends today, and Lent begins with Ash Wednesday as we repent of our sin and reflect deeply on Jesus' love for us. Because you see, Lent is a time of sober contemplation, a time of preparation as we walk with Jesus to the cross of Good Friday and the empty tomb of Easter. Now, of course, not everyone knows these things. I imagine if you told your friends that you were planning to go to church this Wednesday night, they'd think it's a rather odd place for a Valentine's Day date for your sweetheart. But it isn't just the fact that Lent happens to begin on the same day as Valentine's Day this year that might cause people to kind of mentally scratch their heads. The sad truth is that people in our culture are increasingly unaware and uninterested in what God has done for us in Christ. And they understand even less about Lent, and including us Lutherans. So let's imagine someone actually did ask you why you're going to church, even though it's Valentine's Day, just because Ash Wednesday begins the season of Lent. What if they asked you what Lent is all about? What would you say? How would you describe it? Or better yet, what if somebody asked you what Christianity is all about? How would you answer that question? The author Will Campbell tells the story of how one of his friends had been badgering him for a concise definition of Christianity. His friend didn't want a long, fancy explanation. He wasn't looking for a laundry list of doctrines or creeds. In fact, he said, "I'm not too bright, so keep it simple. In 10 words or less, tell me the Christian message." And after pondering for a moment, Campbell said, "We're all rotten, but God loves us anyway." Well, that's not exactly the way he put it. He actually used a much more earthy word than rotten, but I didn't think I should repeat it here. Now, what if you were asked that same question? What would you have said? If you were asked to describe the Christian message using only 10 words, which 10 words would you choose? In business, that's called the elevator speech. At least, the idea is that you should be able to explain your business, your product, your idea, in the time it takes to ride with someone in an elevator. That's a good thing to think about, because the fact is that many of our conversations are pretty brief. We often only get short snippets of time, brief encounters, or if you tweet, you only get 140 characters. Well, God, as far as I know, God hasn't given us an elevator speech. At least, I haven't found one in the Bible yet. But we've come up with something else as a church. We call it a confession. I'm not talking about our confession of sins, although we do that too. What I'm talking about is a confession of faith. We actually gave one this morning in the Nicene Creed. In almost every summary, we confess, or in every service, I mean, we confess a summary of our faith. in words that have been passed down to us since the earliest centuries of the church in those creeds. And we confess to God, this is what I believe. And as we confess to God, we're also confessing to one another, this is what I believe. The Bible clearly states that to be a Christian is to be a confessor. Paul wrote to the Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And Peter encourages us to always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. To be a Christian is to believe and confess the good news of Jesus. But what is that good news? Who is Jesus? What impact does he have on your life here and now? You know, there's so much confusion about those questions. There's a lot of misinformation and misrepresentation about what Christians believe and how their beliefs shape their lives. But in the midst of this confusion, we have a great opportunity and an urgent responsibility to speak clearly and confidently of why Jesus is so important in a lost and dying world. Back in 2010, an article was published in the Christian Century titled, The Gospel in 7 Words. The author invited 15 prominent theologians around the country to give it a shot, to proclaim the gospel as clearly as they could, but instead of letting them recite the Apostles' Creed, he allowed them only 7 words. And they actually came up with some rather interesting responses. Some were very scripturally faithful, true, creatively insightful. Others left a little bit to be desired. And quite frankly, some missed the heart of the Christian faith altogether. But here are a couple of good ones. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. Or, God through Jesus Christ welcomes you anyway. Or, God was in Christ reconciling the world. Now, each of these versions of the gospel is true, and each of them is consistent with God's word. They all capture some important aspect of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus. But notice also that they use different words and different images. They highlight different aspects of the gospel. That is, they summarize the good news of Jesus in different ways. Since thinking about this sermon series that we're starting this week, I've been thinking about what 7 words I would use if someone asked me. And some of you may even be thinking, what 7 words would I use? Just think about it for a moment. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If someone asks you what you believe or why you go to church or what it means to be a Christian, could you articulate it? You know, honestly, I think we'd all probably stumble around a bit. It's kind of complicated. Or, well, you know, I'm not really good at explaining things very well. Or, why don't you come to the church and my pastor will tell you what I believe? Well, that's really hardly being prepared, is it? I suppose you could always just recite the Apostles' Creed, but quite frankly, that'd be a little weird. So this Lent, we're going to be doing something differently than we normally do. In fact, we're going to try something that I've never done before. We'll see how it goes. Our goal this Lent is to prepare ourselves. And yes, that's Lent's about that anyway. We're going to prepare ourselves to celebrate the most important events in history, those events that took place during Holy Week. But we'll also prepare ourselves to confess the hope that we have because of Holy Week. Now, this will be a little challenging, but I hope it will also be encouraging, and I hope also a little enjoyable. For us to do this, we're going to do some work together. On the Sundays in Lent, we're going to reflect on who Jesus is and who we are as his people, and we're going to work on various ways that we might confess that gospel to our friends, our family, our neighbors. This isn't going to be some theoretical exercise. So often, theology and theoretical seem to be one and the same thing. But this is not going to be that. We're going to get really practical. And by the time we get to Holy Week, I'm hoping that each of us, myself included, has a specifically crafted and personal confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ that states the reason for our hope. And this is going to be participatory. That's something we Lutherans aren't real good at. You know, if I asked a question and elicited a response, this is about what you'd hear. We probably won't be eliciting a response quite like that. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how brave I get. But I am going to be asking you to do some work during these weeks of Lent. Maybe consider this part of your Lenten preparation. Each Sunday, we're going to be talking about what it means to confess the gospel. And I'm actually going to walk with you or walk you through a variety of faithful Christian confessions. And between each Sunday, I'd like you to reflect on what God and Jesus Christ has done for your life. And to put these things in your own words. Write your ideas down. Keep track of the thoughts that come to mind. Maybe taking those sermon notes home with you will help. And if you happen to miss a Sunday, you'll be able to find the sermon for that on our website, gracelutherancaldwell.org. I might even put the sermon notes on the website too. Who knows? Or if you want a copy of the sermon, we'll send one to you, either in the mail or email it. If you want a written copy, that might even be better for you. We'll send you that. I really hope that we'll participate in this together. And as we get closer to Holy Week, I'm going to ask you to share with me how you have summarized the gospel. My plan is to, here's the scary thing, my plan is to share those summaries here in church so that others can see and think about different ways of thinking about that. But I don't want you to stress out about that. We've got 6 weeks, so we got time, and we're going to work together on this. And I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to identify who wrote what, especially what I wrote. And I'll give you more direction as the weeks go on, so just be thinking a little bit about that. Thinking a little bit about that. But as we wrap up this morning, I want to share with you another version of the gospel in a few words from that article that I mentioned earlier. This particular summary was written by the Reverend Martin Copenhaver. He's actually the president of Andover Newton Theological School in Massachusetts, the oldest theological school in the nation. In his summary of the good news, he didn't even need 7 words. Here's how he put it. God gets the last word. God gets the last word. Now, in some ways, this version of the gospel is a little vague. We'll talk more about that next week. But I share it with you today because it expresses something very appropriate as we enter into Lent. We begin this season with ashes on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday. And as we do, we repent. But not merely with words. Grief over our sins spills onto our heads for everyone to see. And that action is a sobering reality. These ashes say that the wages of sin is death. With them we confess that each of us has earned our own plot in the cemetery. For dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And yet, Copenhaver reminds us that even in the face of our own mortality, even with our guilt literally on our faces, God still gets the last word. And see, that's the point of Lent. That's the reason we celebrate Holy Week. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday all wrapped into one. While death awaits all who sin, God, through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, gets the last word. And that last word is a word of grace. It's a word of forgiveness. It's a word of life and salvation. It's a word of peace with God. It's a word of hope for tomorrow, of hope forever. I pray that this season of Lent strengthens our faith in Christ. And I pray that what we will be doing here each Sunday will prepare us not only to celebrate his death and resurrection, but also prepare us to share our Christian hope with others. Because even though we're Christians already, we all need a reminder of him who is our hope. But how much more so for those who aren't Christian? Not only do they need to know the hope that can be theirs, many of them don't even know they really need it. Amen.